Hello and welcome to Real Bible Stories. Join us as we deep dive into the historic, religious, cultural, political, and emotional context surrounding the real lives of real people in the Bible and the stories we've all grown to love. Hello and welcome to Real Bible Stories. So if you haven't jumped into part one that we released last week, I highly recommend you go ahead and do that. If you've already listened to part one of our discussion on sanctification with Set Free Church, then you're in the right place. So this is going to be part two of that discussion. So I am your host, Imran Ward, and you're going to be hearing the voice of my wife, Selena, and our two guest teachers, Pastor Nick and Nathan from Set Free Church in Wonder Valley. All right, so I hope you all enjoyed this discussion. This second part is going to get emotional and it's going to get really deep, and I hope you stick through the whole thing. It's going to be so good. All right, so I hope you all enjoy this discussion. We're jumping right into it. So if you're like, I don't know what's going to go back to part one, make sure you take a listen to that as well. All right. Thank you all for joining us.
So in Matthew 13:23, he also says, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and what? Understands it. He who indeed bears fruit produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we got to hear the word. We have intentionally set our hearing aside. Yeah. It has to be set apart for God's work. We have to hear the word in order to understand it, in order to get it out there. That is one of the biggest fundamental things of being sanctified, being consecrated to the Lord, is that everything we do, everything we hear has to come from God first. You know, whether it be edification from someone, a sermon from my pastor, a podcast from my brother, whatever we do, we have to know that we're waiting for something to be spoken from the Lord.
Mm. Yes, listening. Listen. It's such a good thing to do, especially, you know, and it's hard to learn, you know, for me it was hard to learn for my wife. Listening to my wife, because I have a problem trying to fix everything.
Yeah. I think that's a very, very manly thing to just like, instead of, and my, or our counselor talked to us about that, of like, you can't just try and rescue. Like, she'll tell me, like, you can't just try and rescue. Like, sometimes you just gotta listen and be patient.
Listen to understand.
Exactly.
Cause it's really hard sometimes to understand, but when I really listen intentively, and I'm not
intentionally,
I'm listening to really try to understand my wife, and marriage is such a picture of Jesus and us.
And I mean, Jesus uses that reference so often.
And that's what it is. And so my marriage, and I'm starting to learn a lot more. It's how my relationship is with God and my relationship with her, you know? And so when I'm listening to understand her, I'm thinking of every way that I can not try to figure it out myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it should be when we're listening to God's word. We're really wanting to listen to for what he says and not such in a hurry to get his work done that we mess it up because we're doing it our own way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why the ear is the biggest part, the first part that is the blood is put on, you know, the right side, because it's all the strength, you know, we do this in all our strength, or we can't do it at all. Mm-hmm. We have to do it in all our strength, but it's not just our strength, you know, we're going to do it in everything we have. We're going to dedicate our lives to him, but it's his strength now because we've been clothed in his glory, you know, but our,
absolutely.
Before we can go on to the other members that were, the thumb and the toe, like, we have to be knowing God. Mm-hmm. Listen to him.
Yeah.
The more I listen to my wife, the more I talk to my wife, the more I find out about her. And that's the same with our Lord, is that the more and more we listen, the more and more we talk to him, the more and more we get into fellowship with him, like what you're talking about. When we're alone in our closets, we're praying and we're receiving a word from the Lord. Yeah. Like, that's,
we're not praying for others to hear. We're praying to hear what Christ has to say.
To hear what Christ has to say, you know?
Because that's what Jesus talks about. Like, not my will, but yours. Like, you should be mostly listening.
Yeah.
You know?
So after that, he takes the blood and puts it on Aaron and his son's right thumb. You know, and what the significance of this is that service equals worship.
Yeah.
Service equals worship. And the service for the priests, it was their worship to God. Yeah. It was their worship to God. And now our worship to God comes from our service to those around us, serving God and serving our community, serving our church. So when have we ever tried to, I have two thumbs, but it must be really difficult to do anything without a thumb, you know?
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, you know, just flipping through a Bible, you know, and
trying to pick up that cup of coffee without dropping it.
Yeah.
Not in your house. But anything, I'm probably just trying to screw a screw in.
Yeah.
Flipping through the Bible, you know, we take it for granted, you know. But in that, the tasks that we do in the Lord have to be done in worship.
Mm-hmm.
All these tasks have to be done anointed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be anointed by God and living through us in order to get any task done in Him. You know, we have to be hearing from Him. We have to be walking with Him. But our act of worship, and I think we've gotten a lot of, and I see it a lot, is like, I love to serve. I really love to serve. Like, I love doing things for other people and doing it onto the Lord. You know, I love it because it's my, whether I have a bunch of money to give someone or not, whenever I can serve someone, just helping them with something, it's a form of worship to my God. You know, it really is, you know?
Yeah. And one of the big things, a couple things I want to mention here. I was talking about it. The motorcycle ride, for example, going and doing that was phenomenal. And I could see myself getting stuck in that. And the blessing of riding and getting so caught up in the bikes and the brotherhood and all that and because it's so fantastic. But I when I do things like that, I really like making breakfast for everybody. That was my passion. Like, even though the wood didn't burn how I wanted it to,
and I
caught on fire.
You did?
Well, Niall's not supposed to know, and you weren't supposed to know, but I caught on fire a little bit.
Oh my god!
Yeah, your wife rescued me, and
oh my gosh!
Yeah, it wasn't.
Where were we during this?
I don't know what we were doing.
You were off doing the Bible study.
When I was
still studying.
Oh, so it was right when it got. Oh, it was while I was teaching.
No. Saying you went off to.
Oh, I went off to pray and prepare. And,
yeah. The message. Hmm.
Yeah, I went and disappeared for like 30 minutes to.
But going back to the point, you fed us all. We were a good amount of numbers.
I will also say, it was like 28 people, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So this was my first time. I guess for the sermon that I did at the tabernacle, I went to work on Saturday because I had some stuff to catch up on. I did the one thing I needed to do, and then I spent like 5 hours just like going through the material and preparing my notes and all that. And so went away on my own to just study, and like being intentional about it. And then, so I didn't get to do that leading up to, and I know I wanted to do a Bible study, or at least I wanted a Bible study to be done. And I didn't want to just put it off on you to do, like, I want to continue to like grow this skill. But I didn't get a chance to really rehearse. And I was like, I can't do this from the hip because it is going to be insulting to just like, I'll just say whatever. So
yeah,
that's why I went off for like 30 minutes to just like pray and read and study. And it's like, I need to make sure that what I'm saying is not coming just like off the top of my head. It's actually
coming from the Lord,
being intentional and coming from the Lord.
Well,
you know,
it's exactly what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful that you went, and what a beautiful spot to go away and pray.
Yeah. God provided. There was like an alcove out there. I didn't know where we were going to end up. I didn't know, but I knew I was going to, and I was hoping, I was like, please don't just be like an open plane and they just see me walk off into the nothing and sit on the ground.
No, I went hiking back there and I seen you. So I went the other way, you know, but I was like,
yeah. And so in those times, cause, I, at Set Free Church and at how most churches are, you know, you hear about being the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, and it's important and to hear from God, but then to get to work, like you're to be in servanthood, you know, and to find ways, like whenever
to actually be in service to the kingdom and not just be a citizen of the kingdom.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And so when I like, when we do outreaches or we do whatever we do, I love cooking for people and I love that my hands could serve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I, that, and even with, when I went with, to meet with Pastor David about the food ministry, you know, it's, it was important that we prayed. It's important that we hear from God. We both have been praying for this, and we met with Paul. Paul was there, and that's his name, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul Bibrieska.
Yeah, and we met with him and my mom, and it was us four, and we were just talking about it, and it's like, now we're hearing from God in this, but it's going to take our hands. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to have to make meals. We're going to have to go out and deliver meals. We're going to, but that's what's, that's the exciting part to me.
It's a tangible. It's as Lorinda, our worship leader, always says this phrase of like, let him be the skin on Jesus. You know, like we're that tangible expression that other people see. You know, they can't see our insides. They can't see our heart and our organs move, but they see the result of all that action because they see our skin move. They see our eyes blink and stuff like that. And so she says, you know, let him be the skin on Jesus. Mm. And it's like, that's the highest calling I think you could have.
Yeah.
Is to be that physical expression of God's work on this earth. And it's,
and that's
it's
what so we awesome. Explain to our, led. Our sinners forgiven. That's what we are. That we are, whenever someone in our discipleship has a desire to ride a motorcycle, but most importantly has a desire to follow Jesus for the rest of their life, we let them know that it's putting on this cut with this patch, Jesus first, all this is not a step up. It's not, you've made it. It's honestly a step down. Now you are the first one there. You're the last one out. We serve. That's what we do. We are the servants. We get in there, and whatever needs to be done, wherever we find an area that needs a helping hand, that's where we're at. That's what this is for. It's not for, you know, to make ourselves look cool or
not
for
the pride. I love that you guys have that on your shirts, trained to serve Jesus. Yeah. I absolutely love that. And I see it with Set Free. It's like, wow.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do, and we want to keep doing in 29 Palms community is get out there and just wherever we're needed, serve. We got, you know, if we can do it, we'll do it, you know, and in that, it's the greatest opportunity to let them know why we're doing it is because Jesus is doing it through us, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, it's not so we can glory in ourselves and not look what I've accomplished or anything like that. It's that Jesus Christ has given me a gift of servanthood.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is a prized possession that I can actually go into places I've been to. City hall meetings, you know, and talk with sheriffs and stuff. Me personally, from my background, it was really weird doing that. You know, it was really weird, but it's Christ in me who has moved me and set me apart for a new thing in life. You know,
so it all points back to Jesus.
Yes, it all points back to Jesus, and that is why. So my
before being born again in our old life, you know, there was communities that would come together to try to get us kicked out of our area of residence, you know.
Wow.
They would file petitions and stuff. There was a time in our life where the whole community around us put together a petition with the mayor and the city council and all this stuff in Yucaipa, and they put together a whole lawsuit to get us kicked off of
this
that.
This was before Set Christ. Free, before Christ.
Oh, before Christ. Yeah, way before. This is 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But to now be in Christ and, you know, to receive the Mayor's Choice Award.
Yeah.
Wow. You knew to go up there and to receive the Mayor's Choice Award, it was like, wow,
God is so good.
Totally turned around my life, and it's through his sanctification. It's through who I am in Christ, like my position. And
it's, you know, that, it goes back to that beauty is being shown through his glory.
Yes exactly. You know? Exactly. Because I'm rough. You know, I got tattoos everywhere. But it's his glory.
Yeah.
It's his glory, and it will forever be his glory. It will never be my glory. You know, and I will walk in wherever we're at, you know, and Christ is the reason I am who I am today and will continue to carry me on that way. Mm-hmm. And that is, he is my cornerstone. He is my God, you know, and I just love it. Our guys love serving. They just love serving. They love going out there. So that's why we do it.
And it's because it's like we see that passion.
Yeah.
You know, like we see the Holy Spirit going, like working through it all. And you don't have, I feel, and this is just an observation, being in a lot of churches now, because we've been all over the country. People generally in the church want to do something.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, I just wish I could get on stage and, you know, sing and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, do it. You know, I was like, I've heard you sing next to me in this aisle and you sing pretty good. Like, it'll go up there, do it. And they're like, oh, well, I'm just like afraid of X, Y, and Z thing. It's like, you're not, it's not about you. Hmm. It's not about you. It's like, there's a gap on the stage where worship needs to be done. Yeah. And you have the skill set. You've been given the skill, the talent to go be the skin on Jesus in this moment to, you know, help with that worship. Or someone's like, oh, well, I just want to serve. And so it's like, then go serve. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, well, I just wish the women's ministry or the men's ministry was this. It's like, well, go lead it. Like, clearly you have some ideas, you have some capabilities, you have some thoughts. And it's like, well, go do it. Don't let your personal pride, don't let your shame, don't let your fear, because that's all the devil's tools right there that are holding you back from being more and more sanctified, from being the representative, from being the witness, from being that one that's going ahead, you know?
MacArthur Wright's house, the prior mayor, Pastor Mack, and he called me and says, Nick, I heard Seth Free comes out and does stuff. He's like, my backyard needs help, you know? And he's like, I don't know if you guys can handle it. I don't know if it's something within your, but we went back there and we handled it and it wasn't a big deal. We had like 8 to 10 guys and he had tools and it was just a little bit out of order, you know, but we just put it all in order for him and we served that backyard. We served him. And when he seen it, it totally blew his mind, you know?
Yeah.
And then that just started a ripple effect of other opportunities for us to go to other people's homes because Mayor Mack was referring us from in city council meetings, saying, look at these guys. If Pastor Nick, if Pastor Nick knows a guy that will come help you, you know, and so it's just been this ongoing process. And I want to believe that.
And you see that integration. It's like that one like selfless act of like, cause you could have been like, I'm a pastor. I'm a representative of the kingdom. I don't clean backyards.
But I was there with them doing it.
You know, I'm saying you could have said that.
Yeah.
And I could promise you that a lot of Christians and people in the community and church would have been like, oh yeah, that's like, why would he be asking a church to come out and clean his backyard for him? Like, that's up the politician. How dare he?
Yeah.
Right. But in that selfless act, like God has multiplied that.
Yeah. And he
ways that we could never have comprehended.
Yeah. And he blessed us and it's just made a relationship of just a friendship and a family. It's just beautiful because we were willing to use our hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the worship of God, first and foremost, you know? And it's like, I want to believe that that's what the priest felt when that blood went on their thumb.
Yeah.
That our hands are meant for God's duty. Our hands are meant for worshiping God, any way that is, you know? Yeah. And I believe that Aaron, you know, what an inspiration to Moses he was and just, it was... Aaron and so I feel it. I feel that God has blessed these hands.
Yeah, yes.
And he has sanctified them and consecrated them for his service.
Yes.
And I find joy in that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And wherever we're needed, you know, I'm not that the greatest singer, but I seen a spot in the church that needed to be filled to sing, and I'll go up there and do it because it's not for me.
It's not
for me, and I know and. Sometimes it's hard and sometimes it gets rough, but I just got to remember that it's for the Lord, you know, it's for the Lord. It's to worship him and it's to draw his people into worship. That's what it's about. So wherever is needed, my hands are there, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell us more about the process then. How do we actually go through this process?
So I think in this process is the first thing would be knowing our position. Knowing that once we are seated with Christ, that we take on his nature, you know?
Oh,
so it's not just, it's nothing that we have gotten ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a natural server myself. I'm not a good listener myself.
I would say most human beings probably aren't natural servers aren't natural.
But we were created to worship.
Yeah.
We were created, God put it in us. So once he's in us, then it comes like, natural.
Yeah. And
yeah, absolutely.
We can't do this priestly duty. You can say that a priestly duty or this Christian walk without first taking on Christ's nature.
Yeah. Because it doesn't make any sense without it.
Yeah, and in his nature, he was a great server, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, yeah. right? Yeah.
He was washing
the feet. Like mm-hmm. that was his, he did that.
I think he said specifically for the Son of Man, did not come to serve, but
yes,
to be served.
Yes, he did. Yes, exactly.
But, sorry, did not come to be served, but to serve.
Yes. Yeah. And he also listened to the Father, you know? Mm. But there was another thing that he did throughout his ministry that was really important. It was his walk.
I really want to hear about the great grand toe.
Great grand toe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because all these things, listening to God, of course, is really important. It should be a first important, and then serving. But what really shows people and shows our servanthood and shows that we are part of the kingdom is our walk.
Is that walk?
Is the walk. Is the walk. So as the blood was dabbed on their right toe, it was a resemblance of their walk.
Yeah.
Where they would, how their walk would be with balance, with integrity, would be onto God. And that no matter what they were doing, that those around them would see that their walk was in dedication to the Lord. That their life, their whole life would be set apart for His glory. You know, every part of their being would be for His glory.
The walk is kind of like the witness, you know? How are you walking? Are you witnessing Jesus? And it's just beautiful how Jesus said, how blessed are the feet that bring the gospel.
Yes.
You know, and even in the armor of God, shod the feet with the gospel of peace, you know?
Yeah. And then in Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your glory and good works and glorify your Father in heaven. My walk wouldn't be that much if my position wasn't Christ and His nature in me, and how I heard, how I served, and how I walked.
Yeah.
You know, that is His nature. That is His nature. That I'm setting my members aside for His work. And that's the step. That's like I think for me, that is the first step. After being born again, it's like, okay, I know Christ, but how does this walk work now?
Yeah.
You know, okay, I'm born again, but what do I do next?
I've been washing the word and filled with the Spirit. Now what?
Yeah.
Well, there's a setting aside.
Yeah.
There's a filling up. There's a sanctifying, and it's realizing our position in Christ. It's not so much that we have to learn something new. It's just have to understand something that's in us already.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that immediate thing that happens when we confess Christ and we're born again. Now I'm setting aside, God is setting aside my vessel for a special purpose.
Yeah. Because it's that admission, that first confession there is really that admission that I'm not enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you live your whole life thinking that like, I can do this, I can do that, I can accomplish anything. And then you have that break of like, wait a minute, I can't do anything on my own. I can't do life right. I can't do marriage right. I can't do my job right. I can't progress through. I can do my finances right, but through Christ I can do all things.
Yeah,
and that's the confession and that starting.
That's the importance of the Holy Spirit, you know, because the first job of the Holy Spirit was to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so when you get that Holy Spirit in you, it's like that Holy Spirit's the one that says, "Okay," it tells you that you're not enough.
Yeah,
you're not enough. You're a sinner, and you're not right. Your ways have not been right this whole time.
It sours sin.
And it sours sin. It does. And it's I'm so thankful that he left us with that Holy Spirit and the job of convicting sin and righteousness and judgment. Cause now it doesn't not make sense. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense because it's supernaturally imputed into us.
Yeah.
And it's like, it kind of, not that I feel bad for the guys in the Old Testament, but it's almost like, man, they were just almost stuck on position.
Yeah.
And they didn't know where to go from there.
Yeah. They were guided by the law and that was it.
Yeah.
They didn't have the Holy Spirit to really reveal those acts of the flesh and
through them,
the work of the Spirit.
Or in them, you know?
Yeah. And, and this, for anybody listening to this podcast,
fruits of the Spirit, not works of the Spirit, sorry.
Is that once being born again, it's like, I know for me, once I was born again, it's like, wow, everything I didn't know is not right anymore. Mm. So where am I left?
Yeah.
Where am I left at now? I can't do the things I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So what am I supposed to fill this with?
Yeah, what do I fill this with?
It's a new identity.
Well, I know that my life is supposed to be, from what I hear, from what the pastor teaches, from what I'm listening, what I'm reading, it's supposed to be for glory of God. So how do I do this? Well, my members have to be set aside for his purpose.
It's like, how do I do this and I still have to go to work the next day?
Yeah.
I'm still battling this addiction. Yeah. I'm still dealing with my broken marriage. I'm still dealing with kids that hate me. It's like, now how do I glorify Christ in all of this brokenness that I'm still in? Like, you wake up the next day after being baptized and you're still in whatever you were in the day before.
Yeah.
But now you recognize that how wrong it is, and it's probably pretty terrifying.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. You get crushed and smashed down on all sides. But there's a point of repentance that has to happen to where you're like, I'm not going to get stuck in shame. I'm not going to get stuck in this. There's no more condemnation. You hear those things as you get broken, or hopefully you're hearing some of those things, because that should be the gospel message that you're hearing at church, or that you're hearing from pastors, is, you know, you hear of your sin, you get convicted by the Holy Spirit, you've been saved and baptized, and then you should be hearing that there's no condemnation. Do not get stuck in that, but to repent and come to the Father and come to Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit in you is like, you're my dearly beloved child.
Yeah.
And I got you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Break open your heart and I'm here, you know, and 'cause it's that heart surgery that comes from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so the important thing to know is that once you do that, once you've heard that and you felt that in your heart, then it's time to set aside your hands and set aside your feet for the work of the Lord now, for service and worship to God, whether it be in lifted up in surrender during worship and during all of your life, or whether it be getting your hands into something that glorifies God.
Yeah.
And there's so many struggles that come along with that, because then, you know, there you get tested with your pride, you get tested with thinking you're doing it, and God humbles you, you know. But there's such a learning process when you give up your members, your hands, and your feet for the gospel.
Yeah, and it wasn't just left there. It wasn't just the ear, the thumb, and the toe. If we remember the text, that he threw the blood on the altar, took some of the blood and the oil, mixed it together.
Yeah. The oil used to anoint the kings.
Yes.
And the blood used for sacrifice. Exactly. And he blends it together
and throws it on them. The blood.
And doesn't anoint their head, anoints their body.
Their body. And that is the clothing of Jesus' blood on us. And it's anointing of the Spirit.
And the blood covers.
Yes. And that is the perfect thing that transitions us into
I never noticed it's the same verbiage.
Yeah.
You know, covered by the blood, like literally the priests were covered
by the blood.
By the blood that was that was laid on the altar.
Yeah, and it was all the plan from God all the whole time that Jesus would come and be the ultimate consecration for us.
Yes.
Yeah. That he would be the ultimate sacrifice. You know, we see this picture so much of animals being sacrificed to the Lord, the blood being spilt, priests and the people of God knowing their position. They know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're not afraid to say it. But it seems like they keep running into this wall. The what our history has proven, it's the people of God do good for a while.
And then they slip.
And then they know their position. They know that they're God's people. A prophet would come and fire them up and everything would go good. And they'd walk with God. They would listen to his word. They would get busy. They would serve and love God and worship, you know. And then all of a sudden they start hearing and listening to the things around them, other nations and other things. And it's our history in the word of this thing. It's not... How do I explain it? It is enough to have your position in heaven and your positional sanctification, but there has to be Jesus and the Holy Spirit is what brings our progressive in.
Yeah.
And that is what has made it enough, is the Holy Spirit living through us.
Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause the blood is what cleanses our sin, right? It's taking away our sin.
Yeah.
The Spirit is what moves us away from sin. continually moves us away from sin. Those two mixed together, the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God on us, the anointing, is what helps our progressive sanctification process. Knowing when I do fall and do stumble, that the blood has covered that. Not using the blood as in some excuse to sin, never that, but knowing that it has covered my sin, past, present, and future. But then also the Spirit that's inside me, convicting of my sin and walking in newness of life.
I think that it's also interesting that it's just like the blood covering the royal, like based of the priestly clothes, and the anointing, and sorry, the oil being mixed with the blood, the oil being that was used to anoint kings and being mixed as well. That was a visual representation of that process, that sanctification, that being set apart.
Yes,
and it's just like how if we are truly living in a sanctified way, in a set apart way, our walk is that obvious, should be that obvious representation of that being set apart. We're not asked to walk around with blood covered with rich clothes, but we're asked to walk in a way that shows a life filled with the Spirit. And it should be just as obvious as if you were walking around with blood stained clothes.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just love the oil that represents the Holy Spirit, you know, that, and the foreshadow of it all, that he continued to tell people. There was prophecy after prophecy of a coming king, and that he would spill his blood, you know, and it's just beautiful to me. It's beautiful to me, and it kind of stirs my heart, and just, it, like I was saying earlier, the Hebrews and the priests and Moses and all these people, man, all the people of God, man, it's just what they went through for us today. You know, I know it was Jesus that did it for us, but all the toil and hardship and wandering, and then for me today to get all bent out of shape over something little, but here these patriarchs of the faith walked in the desert for 40 years wandering and sacrificing and getting right with God, and then not getting, and then wandering off again, you know? And then now we get to experience really being born again and having Jesus living in us.
Yeah.
And then shame on me if I get ungrateful at times when I have the Spirit of God living in me. Yeah. And that should be enough. That should be enough for me to walk and to serve and to love and to be filled.
Yeah, to fill the hand.
Wow.
Fill the hand or fill up, to be consecrated, to be set apart, to be set sanctified for his good purpose, you know? And in Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness to God. Like, we present ourselves every day to the Lord of being an instrument of righteousness. All our members belong to him now. And that goes into what we do daily. What we do daily, because Christians still have tendencies, sinful tendencies, evil desires lurking around the corner.
Yeah.
If we're not filled.
Yeah. One more thing before we venture off into progressive, and it's about David, King David. One of the things he did, when he sinned, right? When he, the sin of adultery, when he was caught in that, and when he was heartbroken over that, and when there was real repentance in his life, the word said that David consecrated himself and he took off all his clothes and he bathed himself. Mm. And to consecrate himself back to the Lord, you know? And so it's just beautiful to me that even in the process of acknowledging our sin, when David acknowledged his sin, when he was confronted by God with it, he understood that he was dirty and he needed to consecrate himself back to God, you know, by taking his clothes off, by bathing and becoming new. Becoming something new after that repentance. And I think that's a beautiful example of now, you know, of walking into the progression.
Yeah, because this life is not look, I'm saved. Look what I'm doing now. You know, look what I can do now. God has saved me. He had pulled me out of that life. Look what I can do now. It's more, I'm saved. Now, look what God is doing as I cooperate. You know, look at what God is doing through me as I cooperate with His Spirit, mm-hmm. as I yield to His Spirit, as I listen to His voice, as I am being sanctified daily. Even though some of the old things, the old man likes to creep up, Paul continually talked about it, right? He said, not that I have reached it yet, mm-hmm. but I press on, right, Nick? I press on to the goal upward. You know, he continually talks about it, that there's this process that we go through as Christians, that sin is lurking at our door, waiting for who it may devour. You know, and it's right around the corner if we're not in tune with the Spirit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And time again, you hear Paul, you hear other heroes in the faith, you hear them say things that point to, it's not enough just to say, I'm going to heaven, I'll be all right. You know, I got my position, you know, I'm going to heaven, so it's good. You know, I believe in Jesus, I'm fine. Like that's the core of it. Yes, that's your position is taken care of, right? Mm. But that's by no means do we go on sinning and taking our pride and arrogance and our ways into that, because it's so scary.
It's also arguably like yes, you may have said that confession, but if you're willing to just continue a life of sin, did you really make that confession in your heart?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why progressive sanctification is so important, because there has to be fruit, and there has to be that life change, that transformation.
It's like, how do I know I'm saved? It's like, well, look at your life. Yeah. You can know that you're saved by looking at your own life. Yeah. Are you progressively sanctified in your actions through your life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, I like to call it,
because that can only happen through the Holy Spirit. Like, you on your own, you would just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And checking if it's like real, real godly fruit, you know, because it can get a little messed up sometimes,
mm-hmm.
where people can do things that look like they're godly, you know, and I call it artificial fruit, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that they're good acts, you know,
mm-hmm. they're like good. They're like Welch's fruit snacks.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, they look good in appearance. they look like they're fruit, but they're not fruit. They're not fruit that's from the Spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the issue at core, is that we have to daily be becoming more and more like Jesus. It's not so much finding someone new. It's really finding out who we are now in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, and drawing that out of us.
Yeah.
And being sanctified through and through, you know, from glory to glory. And that's how we walk in this new. We found our position in Christ. We know that we're in Him. We're clothed with Him, that our members are set aside for His glory, that now we have a new way of life. Okay, now what do I do as I'm walking in Christ now, and something comes up and I stumble and I fall, or I get a thought, well, I should be doing something different.
Yeah.
I should be doing something different.
Yeah, and you know, positional sanctification, really, it's justification. You know, you've been justified.
Mm-hmm.
You justification, just as if I didn't sin. You know, you've received that mark, that seal of approval, and so as you walk into that, the Holy Spirit is saying, this isn't enough. Like, it is enough. But we need to change you. We need to transform you, and you need to hold on, because this is going to get real. Mm-hmm. This is going to get deep. It's never going to be enough to just be mediocre.
Yeah.
And that's why you see, you know, some of the things that are happening here between, you know, Palms Church and Set Free Church, just these two churches, right? Just the amazing things that are happening, between us and this community, and just, it's powerful. Yeah. It's really powerful to think that at the beginning I thought, how in the world am I going to relate with the Marine Town? How in the world am I going to relate?
Oh my God.
You know, and just,
it's crazy. And now we talked like before the podcast, mm-hmm. like how similar
we are.
Yeah, and it's similar. Just, it's like a bunch of 18-year-olds that came from any other walk of life trying to integrate into an organization that does not stand for their nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Christ does not stand for your nonsense.
No. And time and time again, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, time and time again, they show me that, hey, that's when you're wrong, is how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Because time and time again, and my mind is blown on how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was trying to think of ways in my own ways
yeah.
to relate
your own pride
to someone else's yeah. ways,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, and, but the Holy Spirit, I said, okay, I'm just going to let you do this, God, and just kind of walk through some things and meeting you and doing our first thing at the church, the Biker Tabernacle, and going on that ride. It just kind of opened this huge door of the Holy Spirit working through all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just, it's beautiful, man. And so, that justified part, experiencing your position and knowing that God has saved you and being broken and being born again and then saying, you know what, this is real. There's no denying the Holy Spirit's power. It kind of leads us into that, okay, now there's some things that need to change.
Yeah.
There's some things in me that I need to change. And you hear that prayer of David, that search my heart, O Lord.
Mm.
And if there's anything in me that is crooked or not of you, take it from me, you know? And so that, as we're walking into this progressive sanctification and knowing that there needs to be a change, then we have to understand that things are going to hurt. We're going to, we're going to walk into some things that we're not used to, but God's going to use those for his glory. And so, sanctification, separation and being separated from our old ways, and progressing in that separation of the believer from evil and its result of obedience to the word of God. Progressive sanctification is what gradually separates the people of God from the world and makes them more and more like Jesus.
Mm.
Sanctification differs from justification in several ways. Justification is a one-time work of God resulting in a declaration of not guilty before him because the work of Christ on the cross. And sanctification is a process beginning with justification and continuing throughout life.
Yeah.
So we begin with our confession of faith. We begin with getting justified. Like, how in the world is a person like me going to even deserve this?
Yeah.
Because I know I should be punished for the things I did.
Yeah.
And to walk into that newness of, oh my gosh, like that's amazing that my Father loves me enough to forgive me and die on the cross for me. And that's what leads us into progressive sanctification is really believing that by faith. It's not the easiest thing to believe. And if there's anybody listening right now, I can understand that it's hard to believe. The cross, the dying, the rising from the grave, the Holy Spirit coming in you. This stuff isn't, but faith.
It's not just faith. It's like truth is truth.
Yeah,
it's like because we were talking about this before. It's like the biggest difference with Christianity between like these other legends and these other religions is that Jesus tells us to go seek and ye shall find.
Yeah,
if you go and do your own research, you will find truth there. All right, you will find the historical figure that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth that lived and ministered and taught and died and rose from the dead and was seen by thousands and then the Christianity exploded from there. Pastor Ryan actually asked ChatGPT if Christianity is true. And ChatGPT's response is that there is like the uniqueness of Christianity is that there has been no religion in the history of mankind that exploded from the actual impact point of the event. Every other religion was set up later based off of someone else's interpretation of a past event.
Yeah.
But Christianity, from the moment Jesus rose, it wasn't that 1,000 years later we created a religion around maybe the idea that Jesus rose. It was that from the moment Jesus rose, the people that would have seen him rose went out and told everyone that he rose, and other people saw him rise and they told people that he rose, and that's how it expanded and exploded so quickly.
Thousands because
there's no way this could have happened, and there's unless it was true. And that was like what ChatGPT came up with. It was like, there's Christianity is unique in that it wasn't built later based off of stories. It exploded from the impact point, from the point of him rising from the dead. It exploded.
Yeah.
You know, people were there to be able to say if it was true and be able to discredit it, but no one did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's hard. It's a hard process.
Yeah.
Becoming a Christian, being saved, walking in the light, especially growing up in a dark world or growing up around the dark to where you accept things of the dark. You know, you've learned that these ways are the world or that they're okay, you know? And so to walk as a Christian and to walk in the light, it's hard.
Yeah.
Where a lot of these other religions, it isn't that hard.
Yeah.
It isn't that hard.
Yeah.
You just got to do a few rituals. You just got to do a few rituals, make it look like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and everybody will leave you alone.
Yeah.
You know? But with Christ, this progressive sanctification, you're dirty. You're dirty D. Everything's put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And someone's going to know.
Your life becomes testimony.
Your life becomes testimony. Your feet become the gospel. Your hands become the service. And your ear is the process of it all getting into you, you know? And so it's like, it's a hard thing, but it's so worth it.
I love what you brought up about the history and the truth of the gospel. Like there's so much truth out there and it won't be debunked. Yeah. It won't. And in that, still the only thing that will be able to please God is my faith.
Yeah.
Is my faith. And the only thing that will be able to get me to be able to be sanctified is my faith.
Another interesting thing is like people are like, oh, well, but faith. It's like you have faith in so many more things,
so many things
than you ever comprehend on a day-to-day basis. You have faith that the world is going to continue to turn and that the sun will rise each day. But it's not that the sun's rising. It's that the earth is rotating and also revolving around the sun. And if like you have faith that that's going to continue to happen, you are not out there in space. I know we have a few astronauts out there and able to physically observe the earth rotating, but you're taking the evidence that's been presented to you and you're saying, okay, this evidence meets whatever standard that I have to make me believe in it. Right. Yeah. It's like, we have faith that like, if I, put this cup down on the table, it's not going to go through the table. Like I believe in the concept of physical matter and that there are certain laws and rules that govern that physical matter. And so there are all types of things that we have faith in on a day-to-day basis. And so you can't say people that want to say like, oh, well, I just can't put my faith in it. And it's like, well, then do more research because truth is truth.
Yeah.
Truth is truth. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, if you seek, you shall find.
Yeah. And it's like for people that knew us before, our testimony is proof of Jesus Christ. Is 100% proof of Jesus Christ. There wasn't no turning our lives around on our own. There was not. You know, I was just a real quick, short, you know, I was a neo-Nazi. I was a skinhead for at least 15 years of my life.
Yeah.
High ranking. Like I was really I've been in prison a few times, you know, like I talked about last time, I was in a Nordic god. I did all their rituals. I did all their oaths. I did all that. That is no part of that
person. And that person, like, that like crashed your marriage and all that too.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything crashed. And once I got saved, a lot of that stuff was wiped away. You know, a lot of that stuff, I was no longer racist. You know, I was no longer in the gang, but there was still some things in me that need to be wiped away. Lust was one of them.
Yeah.
Lust was one of them. Still trying to politic, you know, kind of politic. And like I was still on a yard or something. That was a thing in me too. There was a lot of different things in me that had to be woven out of me. You know, and through the sanctification and through learning who Jesus was inside me and what he wanted to do through me, it was a process of my sanctification. And now I know for 100%.
And still is.
Yes. Yeah, and still is until I am glorified.
And that's the three stage process, you know, because we understand, where we've been understanding and going deep into the positional, other known as justification, our positional sanctification. Now we're venturing into the progressive, but there's also sanctification is a three-step process.
Yeah.
You know, and you think of, I have this note here. I really like the way it's put, that our positional sanctification is a starting point of the line that represents one's Christian life. Progressive sanctification is the line itself. Mm. So the starting point of the line is the position. Bam, we're there.
Yeah.
Now, our progressive is actually the line.
Going down the line.
Going yes. down the line, you know, and as Paul said, that scripture that Paul says, you know, this race, I've not made it. I've not, but I am on the line.
I'm running.
I'm yeah. running, and I know where it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I know the end of the race. And that,
yeah. And see, also in that scripture, he says, "I don't beat as one beating the air." You know,
yeah.
I don't fight this fight as uninformed. You mean mm-hmm. I do it in Christ's power, pretty much. I do it in the strength of Him. But there is some things, you know, and yeah. everything I've been through in my Christian walk up to this point, every test, every trial, every failure on my end. Everything that I've been through has given me an understanding of who Christ is, in one aspect, that He is such a loving God, that He is, every time that I have fallen, He has picked me up and He has made me a better man, you yeah. know? And also too, that my sin will come out. My sin will come out. It will not be hidden, you know?
Yeah.
It will be exposed, you mean? And He'll, you know, the good thing about the Spirit, it convicts our heart. Once we don't turn from that, and we're doing, even in our walk with Christ, if there's little things that we've held on to, if there's little sins that we're still nurturing and we're petting, the Spirit, trust me, the Spirit tells us, stop doing that.
Yeah.
That's not something you should be doing. And it will tell us over until it does expose our sin.
And if you don't, He'll dislocate your hip.
Hey, and that's, I love that, because that's the truth. Like in my walk with Christ, He has.
If you have no reference, go to the Jacob episodes.
Yeah,
you
know? He has done that to me. He has, not my physical hip, but He has taken everything from me because I wouldn't turn from the sin I wanted to hold on to.
Yeah.
And in being in Christ, I was back in a prison cell.
Yeah,
back
I've
in
watched,
a prison cell. And
I wanted to speak a little, because I'm his older brother. I'm his pastor. I've watched the sanctification process happen in his life, and to where it's built my faith.
Wow.
Yeah.
My faith as a man of God, and watching, I'm going to share a little bit, being in Set Free Needles and him being my director, the one that when I first came back to the Lord, he was already in a position in the church.
Oh, wow.
And
I didn't know the timing was like that.
Yeah. And so when I first came back, and then watching him fall and having to see his marriage fall apart and everything, and me sitting there like, what the heck? And him telling me, you know, I don't have a call, you know, God doesn't have a call in my life. I screwed it up. I'm not enough.
Yeah.
You know, and him pouring his heart out to me saying that. And I just didn't believe it. Like I would try to talk him, you know, and to watch it just fall apart and his life unravel in front of my eyes after I just came and back to the Lord and then trusted in him and walked with him, and then to see his whole life unravel and 3 or 4 3 years of all that and wreckage, and but to see what God's doing now through that wreckage.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think he knows it, but at that time, he was about ready to be raised up as a deacon, you know, but all things came unraveling, and he was preaching, he was doing all that, and it was beautiful, and I got touched so much at the beginning of my walk because of my brother and what was happening in his life, and then it all unraveled, but to see that and to see where him and his wife and him and their kids are right now and God moving in their life, and to see that that, and because I just feel like someone on here that's listening needs to hear that even if you've been involved in church and you've been involved in leadership and something bad has happened, that doesn't mean you're not enough no more.
Yeah. You've already justified.
Yeah. You've already, your position is already there.
You tripped on the line. Yeah. Like, get up and keep running.
Yeah, because now it's time for your process of sanctification.
Yeah.
To give up and think that it's your fault or you're not good enough for God, or that's a lie.
Yeah, because
it's a lie because
I lost my wife. The wife
divorce.
Wow. Kid gone, everything, in prison, no one. And we are happily remarried. We are happily having another kid. We are like, there was no hope. There was absolutely no hope. At all. The worst of worst that couldn't have been done was done. And it was gone for 4 years. Now we are remarried. We got another baby on the way. We're happy. We're going to counseling, marriage counseling. We're doing all this, but it's sanctification is a great process, you mean?
And it's real. Yeah. It ain't just how much you study the word or how much you know about the word. You got to live in it.
Yes.
You got to live it. And there's intimacy.
Live by the word.
And for me, watching this happen in my brother and watching this go down, and I had already married my wife and we had our son and everything that was his was given to me. It was crazy. And so I had to struggle and fight with maybe a guilt that was from because I moved in. It's crazy, right? Their marriage fell apart. It all unraveled. And then a little bit later, after some things, I became the director. I moved into his house with his dog. His dog was still there. You know what I mean? And it was like, what is this, Lord? Like, why? Why does my brother have to go back? And I fought with the Lord in this.
Wow. Yeah.
Why am I still here? Why is he gone? Mm-hmm. Why? And it broke my heart. It broke my heart because before that, and what's cool about all this is, he probably doesn't know, but he's going to find out right now. No, it's good. It's good. At that time, at the beginning, Pastor Marty in Set Free Needles was telling me about how he's going to raise my brother up as a deacon and all this stuff. But it never happened because of all the stuff that came unraveling and his sanctification process. But next Sunday, I'm going to be raising him up as the deacon of Set Free Church.
Amen.
Wonder Valley. Amen. And because I've seen and I've heard and I've watched in the sanctification process. And so he's going to be in a position now as the deacon of our church. And so it's like, gosh,
Wait, do you know that that's happening next Sunday?
No.
Wow.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that. And it's awesome, you know, it's awesome. And whatever, wherever I'm at, no matter what, I know, because I do know my call.
Yeah.
You know, I know that one day I'll be pastoring a church. I know that, you know, I know that. And that's amazing. You know, I know that for sure. It's been my call for a long time. I just ran
in the opposite direction.
Yeah. But I didn't know that. And whatever position I'm in, I'm going to do it to the Lord, you know.
Yeah, and that's usually how, just a little history of Set Free, that's usually how we find out about things by surprise. not only that, but in Set Free, we kind of go through the stages of being raised up as a deacon, and then you're raised up as an elder, and then you're raised up as a pastor eventually, and you go plant a Set Free church, you know? So you go through the stages. And so he's on his way. And I already know that at some point I'm going to have to let him go and go start a church. And that's part of the sanctification process too, you know, going through these things and having people you rely on and wanting to hold on to them and these things, you got to rely on the sanctification process for that too.
Set Free Church is so much like the Marine Corps and also so much like Palms Church.
Yeah, man.
Once, because the Marine Corps is like this, like we are literally a lot of the times taking some of the very broken people off the streets. And they're like, I've been trying to do life where I screwed up all of high school and I can't go to college. Can I join the Marine Corps? It's like, yes. Can you do 3 pull-ups? We can work on the rest when you're at boot camp. Yeah. All right. And or people that like, I tried to do life for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And I just can't, I need some structure. I need some organization. And it's like, you want to do the work? Like, yep. Can you do 3 pull-ups? Okay. We can work on the rest of recruit training. And we bring them into this like community. And we train them up and ideally they conform to the organization's norms and rules and they do well. Right. But then you have Palms Church, which is a church that serves a primarily primarily Marine community that does raise up pastors, raises up deacons, raises up ministers, and just to watch after 3 years, they PCS somewhere and they go off. And yes, they spread the word, they spread the gospel, they spread the truth in wherever they're PCSing to. But like the Palms has a theoretical limit of how much it can grow physically in 29 Palms. Because of the transient nature of it, because we are primarily serving a base, it's an infinite level that it can grow out, like in the world. Mm. It's from this small little town of 29 Palms, small little town for me, right? of 29 Palms, you have a church that has built churches all over the world.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah. And in that way, you and I are missionaries, because the Marine Corps is going to send us wherever they decide to, right. But that's where.
And our mission, and that's going to be our mission.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. That's how you, this is a little bit off topic, but that's how ministry is supposed to be designed.
Yeah. You're not supposed to just blow up your one church in the small community. You're supposed to go out and
But what spread. She said about the Marines sending you, that's your job, that's your duty, but you know your real mission is to continue in the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it's just if people would understand that a little bit more before they just wanted to get their job so they could work and provide for their families, that your job is your mission.
Your job is also in service to the kingdom.
Yeah, yes. And that's, if you can intertwine those, and what a beautiful opportunity you guys have from God, you get to get sent by the Marine Corps to go preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Because ministry equals my life.
Yeah.
Not ministry equals church activities and church events. Mm. Ministry equals from when I wake up to when I go to sleep, you know? That's who.
And that's what the early church is. They planted churches, they sent people, they exploded.
The pastor was to live in the house of the churchgoers because they weren't focused on work. They were completely dedicated to study and teaching and recording.
But, and still people had to work. People had to have jobs. People had to sell linen and sell purple and do these things because the church needed to be supported. But they gave, and they gave of what they had so that everybody was supplied. And so I see that. In this community, I see that with Palms. I see that with Set Free. I see that with a lot of the churches out here that are getting together and loving the people of this community, you know?
Yeah.
So where are we at here? I had to read a few things here because I jotted them down. So sanctification is a 3-step process, the past, the present, the future. The first stage is what we've talked about for the last hour and a half. it's the beginning of our Christian lives. It's the initial moral change, a break from the power of love, from the power and the love of sin. It is the point at which believers can count themselves dead to sin, but alive in God. Romans 6:11. Once sanctification has begun, we no longer are under sin's dominion. There is a reorientation of desires, and we develop a love for righteousness. Paul calls it a slavery to righteousness. Mm. The second stage of sanctification requires a lifetime to complete. I think that's the importance of it, that my life is for his glory, and it will, I don't come to a spot of completion. I am becoming new, I am becoming changed, I'm becoming transformed. My trials, my tribulations, the things that I go through, and how I surrender them to Christ is how I'm sanctified. Not by how good I worship or how good I serve, but the things that really are real in my life is and choosing not to go the same way that others are going or that I used to go because of that moral change in me. And I want to be a slave to Jesus and his righteousness in me. Takes a lifetime to complete. As we grow in grace, we are gradually but steadily changing to be more and more like Jesus. This occurs in a process of daily spiritual renewal. The Apostle Paul himself was being sanctified even as he ministered to others. Paul claimed that he had not reached perfection, but that he pressed on to attain everything Christ desired for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that's what I think is a big point about this progression, is that there's going to be some things that set us back. There will be, and just understanding it when they come, it's a part of the process. It is a part of the process of being sanctified, being set aside for his work, and that for everybody to know that it's his grace that saves us. It's his grace that saves us. And in his saving grace, we walk in the newness of Christ every day, and his blood covers us. And then the power of the Spirit allows us to grow each day. The power of the Spirit convicts our hearts. The power of the Spirit moves us. The power of the Spirit leads us, you mean? And then eventually we reach the destination that we're prepared for. He said, in the word it says, that we make sure that we present each other perfect, right? And that's the perfection. We every day is to make sure we teach people to perfect them in Christ, so that when we meet Christ, we recognize Christ. Christ recognized us. Now, it's not just enough for us to be justified. We have to be truly sanctified and set apart in the world. We can't mm-hmm. be of the world anymore. We have to be different. And it says in Peter 2:1-3, it says, so put away all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Other scriptures refer to working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like there's this process of growing up into salvation. We have our salvation secure, but just walking in that.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, the finish line, heaven. And it was actually, I think it was a preach you did years ago in Needles, Nathan. I don't know, but, you know, I don't want to spend this life here on earth just thinking that I'm okay to be saved and get to heaven. And then when I get to heaven, just so surprised at heaven and scared of heaven because I'm not experiencing any of it here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not experiencing the sanctification part. In sanctification, you get to know Jesus.
Yes, you do.
You have no other choice to get to know Jesus in some of the hard moments, because he's the only one that can save. He's the only whoever called on the name of Jesus, whoever, you know, and those things are so real, and we have to lean on those things in the sanctification process.
And it's so interesting that people think that, you know, coming to Christ means that their life's going to be easy or coming to Christ is going to solve all their problems and all that. It's like, no, the Holy Spirit will probably reveal a lot more problems that you have. And life is going to get a lot harder as you serve and serve and serve.
Yeah. And it's important for us as we go to the highways and the byways and we bring people, you know, especially the task of, go therefore make disciples, and going out, we have a search and rescue team and how we go out, and I want to start hitting Palm Springs and under the bridges, but it's important for these leaders. And I tell them, look, you can't just tell them that they're going to a rehab and everything's going to be provided and just please come home so we can feed you and make everything. You have to tell them what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Like you're going into to surrender your life to Jesus. It's going to be hard.
Really,
it's going to be hard. I want you to know that he's got you.
You're
that
gonna
he
give up your
he
demons,
loves you.
You're going to give up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to change, and it's going to get ugly. It's going to get hard. It's going to get rough. Yeah.
You're going to confront things that you intentionally are probably doing drugs and drinking to not confront.
Exactly.
You know, and those things are going to come up, and you're going to have to change.
So dying to yourself, like physically.
It's like, we may give you food, but it's not going to be all that you need. You know, there's going to be so much more that's going to be required of you.
Yeah. Yes. And it's crazy because
it's not the easy way out, I guess.
No,
that's the thing. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
It is hard.
It's hard.
Yeah. It is really hard. You know, it is really hard because not just the old things that we used to do before we were saved, but now there's new things that we try to do in Christ, you know, and those things become really bad. And there's also some things that we pick up in Christ that are, or being around certain people that we don't really claim as being bad things, but that can become forms of worship to different idols. You know, these things we sometimes we idolize,
just so many different
it's
things.
It's like the amount of like gossip in church.
Yes,
or
gossip.
The amount of self-worship that comes exactly. out of like being on a worship team. That exactly. You know?
Exactly. Or just authority. Yeah. The amount authority. Of authority, yep. having a strict authority. Sometimes yep. I'm really,
finances,
yeah. you know, there's so many different things that, and
there are so many more opportunities for the devil
exactly.
to come in,
yes.
you know, cause again, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. Cause now yes. you're getting the conviction. Now you're recognizing the sin. Whereas you could just sin freely without thinking about it before. Now you have this thing in you that's telling you, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And you're yeah. like, oh, but I just want to,
yeah.
you know?
And it's not and really.
And now you're fighting. You're in this fight with yourself.
Yes.
You know?
You are, yeah.
You're in this fight with yourself.
Yep. And whoever.
It's like a good fight though.
The yeah.
It's a good fight. Paul said,
and you're not fighting alone.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Paul said, fight the good fight.
Yeah. The good
it's
fight.
It's a good fight. It really is. It's satisfying once you get through some things and you've walked and like my brother and I and the things that we've seen in each other, the places that we've came from and just looking back and then seeing where we're at now, it's like the rough times, the sanctification times are worth it.
Yeah.
Like they're worth it.
Thing.
They're worth it. And they're so gratifying to know that it's real.
Yeah.
You know, it's real. And yeah. So
yeah, and just a few more things to like touch on like that is that like you're saying is that a lot of these things that we used to do are more evident. They were more outwardly. The things that are done in Christ that we're trying to or we need to be sanctified progressively with are the things that are done inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, backbiting inwardly, you know, gossip inwardly that eventually will pour itself out. But then there's other things that hatred and lust and ego and stuff that these yeah. things we look and we're like, man, these things are ugly. You know, these things are ugly and they're not of Christ. So I have to get rid of these. And in the scripture, I think it's Colossians 3:5. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. You know, like there's these things. He tells us over, look, all right, you might have been freed from these things, but also you need to be freed from these things too.
Yeah.
There's these things that you have now carried along into this new walk, this new life. And these also, you have to rid yourself of these also.
Yeah.
Backbiting, evil, just all this stuff that we accumulate in our life, you know?
It's why God is the one true God. There's never, you don't run out of things you could work on.
No,
you know? With every other religion, with every other thing that man does, whatever job, work, you know, there you get to a point of where you've made it to the top.
Yeah.
You've done everything you could do to get to where you're at. And now what do you do? You know? But with Jesus, with Christianity, with being a Jesus follower, there's always, I'm telling you, the longer I work, the longer I walk with him and being sanctified, the more I realize that I need, there's still some things that I really need help with.
I think it's also true that people often think that they know God. They think like, oh, I know enough about, I know what God stands for. I know who he is. I have an idea of what, like, you know, you Christians are, right? Yeah. But it's like, I don't even know my wife, you know? It's like, if you ask me today, like, what's she thinking? It's like, I have no idea what she's thinking. Like,
yeah.
I don't. And it's because, like, she is an infinitely complex person that is constantly generating more ideas, more thoughts, constantly making new connections, new decisions in her head and manifesting those things into the world, right? And so over the course of the day, over the course of 24 hours, she's had 24 more hours of new thoughts, new connections, new pathways being made, new thoughts, new ideas, new concepts being realized. And it's like, and then doing that every day of her life. So I can never know her because she can never communicate the infinity that is going on in her head to me.
Yeah.
How much more so is God? Right, that is one other person in our life and the person that I most know from the concept of like anyone else in my life. But I will never ever even come close to knowing an infinitely small amount about who she is on the grand scheme of things. Like how much more so is God?
Yeah.
And infinitely all knowing, all like ever present, omnipresent, existing out of time, being able to observe all time, being able to plan things before time, through time, placing placing Jesus in time to do things for us based off, like, in the beginning was the Word, right? Oh, he's like, Jesus was identified. I was identified. I was set aside before time, right? Things about what I was going to do and decisions I was going to make were written down in a book before I was even like a concept in my parents' head, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much more so is God compared to the people that in our lives? Like, we think we know people, but do you really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and he never runs out. He's always, there's
it's
always.
Like the hubris of people to claim to know God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I think that what we can get out of this is that the Spirit is what's going to draw us to be sanctified, and that this progression is a lifelong thing. It's a lifelong thing, but we have to be planted in a church. We have to be around believers. We have to be accountable. We have to be accountable to people. We have to really be in this walk, really be in the Lord, really be clothed with his righteousness, really be know what our position is, know that our members are set aside for his work, that he has prepared stuff for, in advance for us to do.
Absolutely.
You know,
not covering ourselves with the things of God, but literally putting on and operating with the God in us.
The skin of Jesus.
Yeah. Because I feel like even for me, sometimes I get lost in the ministry of things and doing.
Yeah.
But I get ahead of God, you know? And so
then you trip.
Yeah.
You trip on the line.
You sure do. Yeah.
Get some more
sanctification.
Yeah. I'll slow down. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I guess,
So I want to kind of a couple of the last part of this, right?
Okay.
The last part, about 2 more hours.
Amen.
No. So the last part of sanctification is obviously we all know is our glorification.
Yes. Yeah. The reward.
The reward. Yeah. The finish line. You know. And so it's just beautiful to me that this 3-step process, or like it's not even a step, but it's just all in one, and it kind of refers to our 3-in-1 God. You know. And this 3-in-1 process of sanctification, we have our position, our progressive, and then our future sanctification, which is our glorification, you know? And so God's work in sanctification involves all 3 members of the Trinity, God the Father, constantly at work in his children to will and to work for his good pleasure. He changes our desires, making us want to please him, and he empowers us to do so. Jesus earned our sanctification on the cross and in essence has become our sanctification and the perfecter of our faith. The Holy Spirit is the primary agent of our sanctification, and he is the one who produces the fruit in us, the fruit of sanctification. Our role in sanctification is both passive and active. Passively, we trust God to sanctify us, presenting our bodies to God and yielding to the Holy Spirit. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, and God will have his way. Actively, we are responsible to choose what is right. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. This involves putting to death the misdeeds of the body, striving for holiness, fleeing from immorality, cleansing ourselves from every defilement, and making every effort to supplement our faith. John makes it clear that we will never totally be freed from sin in this life. Thankfully, the work of God has begun in us and he will finish it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
I want to close out by going back to Exodus.
Okay.
So we read to describe this, thus says the Lord, of what we need to do to prepare Aaron and his sons to be the priest. And then in Exodus 39, we get this beautiful description of everything that was done, how they made the gold, how they twisted the fabric, how they wove the stones into the fabric, how they made the breastpiece, that got the most skilled craftsmen and the best workers to build this garment and these garments that were worn by Aaron and his sons. And, but you get all the way to the end of this incredible description of them executing God's plan exactly the way that it was given. And Moses closes off this chapter by saying, or closes off this period by saying, So the Israelites did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses carefully inspected all of the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So they had done it. So Moses blessed him, or blessed them. And I think that that's an incredible place to end it, because it really goes back to that picture of how Jesus is describing us being sanctified and set apart.
Yes.
And at the end of it all, we will be blessed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's perfect. It's perfect. And the way Jesus did it and set it all up from the beginning, the way God had it all planned, it's perfect.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that we could go through besides this process of sanctification and being sanctified in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
And it was his prayer for us. It was his prayer for us before he went to die on the cross. So it has a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
That this is where a Christian should be.
Yeah. Well, man, it's been a journey. It's been a journey, but we have to get you all on again. We have to get you on with Ryan and just have like, I got to get a fifth mic. We'll figure it out.
Oh, goodness. But it's going to be 4 hours.
Yeah. It's been awesome having you all on for the last couple episodes. And so I truly appreciate you all hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for our next ride. I cannot wait to see you all around the church. I can't wait to come to another Biker Tabernacle, because I love Set Free Church. Yes, and we love you at Palms.
Yeah. We love you guys too.
Guys, man. We love you. And we're honored to be welcomed into your house and to do church. We're doing church in your house. And so. Yeah. Beautiful thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you all for tuning into Real Bible Stories. I hope you all really enjoyed this deep testimonial episode, because it's like, Ryan, me and Selena, like, we're always the ones, telling you all our like life story over the last 2.5 years of this podcast. And so it's good to hear that testimony and hear that deep love and passion that you all have. And I really, really appreciate that. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Share it. Send it out, and be encouraged. And until we meet again, stay in prayer, go with God, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Real Bible Stories. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to leave a review, share, and subscribe to be notified each week when we upload new episodes. Real Bible Stories is produced in partnership with Palms Church in 29 Palms, California. If you would like more information or want to check out archived sermons and Bible studies, please check out the church website at palmsbaptistchurch.com or check them out on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Real Bible Stories can be found wherever podcasts are found. Thank you again, and we will see you next week.